translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. While working to earn his livelihood as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in human society unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing to be very much attached. Jai Shri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ji Ki Jai. Read again. While working to earn his livelihood as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in human society unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing very much attached. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the picture of ideal family life. That's the first sentence. This is the picture of ideal family life. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy about the goal of life, Ramananda Roy described it in different ways, according to the recommendations of the revealed scriptures. And finally, Sri Ramananda Roy explained that one may stay in his own position, whether as a brahmana, sudra, a sannyasi, or whatever, but one must try to inquire about life's goal, tatato brahma jigyasa. This is the proper utilization of human form of life. When one misuses the gift of the human form by unnecessarily indulging in the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and does not try to get out of the clutches of Maya, which subjects one to repeated birth, death, old age, and disease, one is again punished by being forced to descend to the lower species and undergo evolution according to the laws of nature. Wow, that was one sentence. About 10 lines. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashyaha. Being completely under the grip of material nature, the living entity must evolve again from the lower species to the higher species until at last returns to the human life and gets a chance to be freed from the material clutches. A wise man, however, learns from the Shastras and Guru that we are living entities and all eternal, but are put into troublesome conditions because of associating with different modes under the laws of material nature. He therefore concludes that in the human form of life, he should not endeavor for unnecessary necessities, but should live in a very simple life, just maintaining body and soul together. Certainly one requires some means of livelihood, and according to one's varna and ashram, this means of livelihood is described in the Shastras. One should be satisfied with this. Therefore, instead of hankering for more and more money, a sincere devotee of the Lord tries to invent some ways to earn his livelihood, and when he does so, Krishna helps him. Earning one's livelihood, therefore, is not a problem. The real problem is how to get free from the bondage of birth, death, and old age. Attaining this freedom and not inventing unnecessary necessities is the basic principle of Vedic civilization. One should be satisfied with whatever means of life comes automatically. The modern materialistic civilization is just the opposite of the ideal civilization. Every day, the so-called leaders of modern society invent something contributed to the cumbersome way of life that implicates people more and more in the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadekamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganath Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taruvishcha Kripa Sindhu Bhebaja Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitahananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasiri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. It's worth reading this translation again. While working to earn his livelihood as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in human society unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing to be very much attached. So, as Prabhupada begins, this is the ideal picture of family life. What is the principle here? Live simply and do what's necessary to maintain the body so you can keep the body fit to execute the goal of life, which is devotional service. That's the sum and substance of this whole purport. Live simply. As Prabhupada indicates, society doesn't allow you to live simply. So we are somewhat in a, what we say, a very difficult or unnatural dichotomy between what is the ideal and what is going on. So it's a struggle to somehow or other make that, what we say, livelihood work and at the same time become simple in the way we do things. But in the way we do things to become simple, we have to become simple in the way we think. That's the real key. And develop the mentality of simplicity. What is simplicity? It's described in the Shastras. And simplicity is a feature of the Brahminical characteristics. And it's necessary in order to, what we say, execute the goal of life. A devotee is so simple, as Prabhupada uses an example, if a thief comes into your house and says, where's your money? He says, it's over there. That's Prabhupada's example of simplicity. No duplicity. No, what we say, acting and thinking one way, but something else is actually there. In other words, what you see is what you get. No charades, no false programs. The devotee is simple. Why? Because he's just simply trying to chant Hare Krishna, study the scriptures, take prasadam, and serve the Lord to the best of his capacity. That's it. That's all. Well, the sophistication that comes with our life is something that has been with us due to the sociological, situation. We're forced into a situation that if you don't have a posture, you really are being exposed and exploited. You got to be one thing, but at the same time have another front, so and that defends your life in such a way that you can function. And that's everyone's like that. So we come into the world and we're trained in a very unnatural way because of the society, because of our parents, because of maybe even our karma. But it doesn't work in spiritual life. To be simple means to be happy. A devotee is straightforward, and that's one of the qualities in the execution of one's devotional service, is to be straightforward. It doesn't say one thing and mean something else. He speaks the truth, simply, not in a very offensive way, and not in a very, arrogant way, but she speaks the truth and goes on with her devotional service. Now here, Prabhupada says that earning livelihood is a requirement for grihasthas. This chapter, we ask to understand, is about grihastha life. For brahmachari or brahmacharini, those who don't have home and family, it's easy. It's basically very easy. But for grihasthas, they have to somehow or another make a living in order to keep what they their griha going nicely. So Prabhupada said, if one is honestly trying to do that, and he says, Krishna will help. if one is sincere and tries to invent, Prabhupada uses the word invent, because we may not have to invent everything, but sometimes we have to think how best to do both. Then Krishna, within the heart, and externally by making the arrangements, helps the devotee. Because Krishna always is trying to help his devotee execute devotional service. So for those who live in grihastha life, it's necessary. And this is basically the sum and substance of this whole purport. But we have to fight against the ways of the world. It's very difficult. Therefore, one of the things that Prabhupada wanted as a feature for our devotional society, as our society at large, was farm communities. He said, you know, grow your own food, make your own cloth, cultivate herbs and learn how to make medicine, and make your own building materials. Build your own houses, basically, he said that. When he came to New Vrindavan back in the 70s, he taught us how to do all these things. He showed us actually what is the ideal house. And he drew on a picture what is called the simple way for grihasthas to live. It was a little house, and had like maybe two rooms in the house like that. And he told devotees, you build these houses. And we did, and they were called Prabhupada houses. Little simple domains for the grihasthas at the time. Some of them are still there. I'm sure they are. And that was it. That grihasthas could live in the farm community, have a cow, grow some food, take care of their children, have a little gurukul right there for children's education and maintenance, and spend your life not running here and there to the offices and trying to be, you know, accumulate so many things that you don't really need in order to live. He said, live simply. Therefore, when Prabhupada left the world, or just before he left the world, he wanted to really establish this Vanashram system. And the base of the Vanashram system is the farm communities. Here we have somewhat of a combination of a farm community with a little more of the city mood here, or we say the other mood, the combination. But Prabhupada explained that this is the ideal lifestyle. Because why? It affords you so much time where you can chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to run around trying to make money. You can make money right from the land. And it's a very healthy way to live too. Because growing your own food means that the actual activity of eating from the very beginning, from planting the seed, is an act of devotion. You plant the seed, you cultivate the seed, and you harvest the crop, and you take it and you prepare it, and you cook it, and you offer it to Krishna from the very beginning. The devotees are involved with that foodstuffs that is offered to the Lord. So it's devotional service from the beginning to the end, as opposed to buying stuff in the stores. And he said, food grown on your own farms is 100 times more nutritious than food growing outside. There's a statement in that regard. So we're seeing now many of the city temples. He wanted a city temple, a preaching center in the city, to preach and then have the farm communities where devotees could live and bring new people to the farms and engage them in practical service like that. That's Prabhupada's ideal for the future of our society. And it also correlates with the situation in the world. As the society starts to become more and more degraded, the economic system becomes more and more precarious. And if everything falls, just imagine if the whole society falls, where are we economically or even spiritually? We're going to have to scramble in order to continue to do what we're doing. And that's not what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted us to be prepared when things do fall, and he said they will eventually. I mean, people predict different things, but the society, the way it's going, is going one way. It's going more and more degraded, more and more anxiety, more and more stress, more and more depression, more and more crime, more and more drugs. It's just moving in that direction around the world, everywhere you're going. And they're supplanting this materialistic civilization in every country of the world. And people are becoming the same. They're becoming degraded, that's all. And people are giving up religion, giving up social family structures, and simply finding happiness in getting material things. Or that's their goal in life. And what is the result? Dissatisfaction. Unemployment is increasing everywhere. I drive to India, and you see people are just hanging on the streets. Nobody's engaged. The farmers are being pushed off their land into the cities, and the cities are growing like crazy, and there's no place to employ them, no place to house them. And what is the result? You're going to have crime. Unemployment means crime. That is actually a fact. Because people, idle mind is a devil's workshop. So as we see, society is becoming more and more, what we say, away from what is necessary to bring them up to at least a civilized human being. We have to be ready, as Prabhupada said, to invite and to engage people when the society falls apart. But if we're dependent so much on the society itself for our own livelihood, how will we provide for others? I know many of our city temples are dependent. Still get electricity, we still get water, we still get heating, we still get food, and what else, a lot of other things from the society. You might say, well, that's all right, we can do that. But you never know. The whole European economic situation almost collapsed last month, 2 months ago. One country almost destroyed the whole euro. They had a euro crisis committee in the HSBC bank. I know, because some of the devotees I know were on that crisis committee. What happens when the euro crashes? It was almost going to crash. Germany saved it by giving unlimited amounts of money to save Greece. But, you know, they're just trying to do patchwork in order to keep the society going. So this is true all around the world. Unemployment, crime, dissatisfaction, depression. So the future, as Prabhupada said, of our movement is these farm communities. To grow food, to provide employment or activity for devotees where they can live in a very simplified life. It's difficult. We're city slickers, some of us, right? We've been brought up in the cities, you know, we get up in the morning and everything is like, you gotta turn the light on, you gotta plug this in, you gotta turn that switch, and it's like, you're spending like half a day just turning on and turning off appliances, you know. So, you know, it's like, we're part of it, you know, and we're pretty much conditioned by it. And it's very much convenient to continue on like that. But that's Prabhupada said. He said in 1972 in one lecture, he said there's an energy crisis and the fuel is running out in the world. And about 50 years, it'll be finished. So 50 years from 1972 is what? 2020? Yeah. So it's like that now, you know. They're trying to make more and more wars so they can get the economic resources of the Middle East. You know, all the Arabs got control of all this oil, you know. And they're going to raise the prices and they're going to even restrict people if they want to. So the idea, that's the whole Iraqi war was based on getting oil. That was the whole thing. The Iraqis... Afghanistan refused to compromise with U.S. policy and refused to allow a pipe to be built through Afghanistan. And so they created this Iraqi war to overthrow the Afghanistan government. That was the whole thing, so they could get the oil. So it's all about, you know, getting more natural resources to keep this machine going. But how long can it last, you know? How long can it last? And then the sinful activities of people in general, because people are getting more and more involved in sense gratification. So as a society, we have to see where is our future. And Prabhupada said something interesting. He said we have two solid programs in our Krishna conscious movement. He said book distribution, farm communities. What did he mean by two solid programs? The purport of that statement is that whatever energy you put into these two things, distributing books and building farm communities, will bring about great amounts of benefit for so many people. So this is the second phase of Prabhupada's movement. And it's the second phase. It's actually the phase that we need to go into. How to move ourselves away from the dependency on this materialist civilization and create our own. Prabhupada's idea for Mayapur. He said Mayapur, we should secede from India, and create a separate country, and make our own money. And he said the money will be called Chaitanyas. I'll give you 5 Chaitanyas. Do you have change? Yeah, this is all like Prabhupada had a vision for the world. And it's based on the natural progression of the living entity's evolvement towards happiness. And what is that happiness? Live simply, chant Hare Krishna, engage in devotional service. And we see that many temples now are actually looking seriously to having their own farms, just like in Chaupati. They have an amazing farm. You can ask Gaur Gopal about it. He'll tell you all the information. So if things fall apart in Bombay, they can just go to the farm, and it's huge. I mean, acres and acres and acres of land. But our problem is we like the way we live now. That's our problem. We're stuck. We're some combination of being stuck and like being stuck. It's like, because to live simply is very, it's actually a mindset that we have to create and at the same time apply. It's very hard to live simply because we're not accustomed to it. We don't really know what it means to live simply. But Prabhupada gave the formula. Start with growing your own food and live like that. Grow your own food. Take milk from the cows. Take care of the cows. The cows can provide cow dung. You can use cow dung for fuel. Not only for fuel, but for energy. Your energy resources. You can make methane gas from cow dung. And you can actually provide all the energy you need just from cow dung. They're doing it in Nuvraja Dham in Hungary. They have solar systems there. And they get, there's no electricity, so they have these solar panels on the roofs and they get their light from the sunlight. So that place is moving towards what was Prabhupada's idea for the future. Because he said, this society will not last. It can't last. And everything Prabhupada says has never been wrong. It's just a matter of time when it manifests. It's just a matter of time when it manifests. It's like money. What is it? It's a piece of paper. If the government says, we're finished, what do you do with your paper? You can just, stuff your pillow with it. It's useless anymore. You may have a lot of paper and think you're rich, but next day you can be nowhere. Zero. Real wealth is actually precious metals. And the demons are controlling, they're getting as much precious metals as possible. They know that. The demons know that. They've cornered the market for gold. They cornered the market for silver. They cornered the market for platinum. Big people are buying up all these precious metals. Because they know this is the real value. It's paper. Prabhupada said it's useless. And one next day it's finished. So how long will this society go on? But that's not the point. We're not so much thinking at it. We're thinking how to live in such a way that we can execute Krishna consciousness and not divert our attention to so much energy, time, and effort just to maintain this body so we can perform devotional service. That's the real point. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So, simple living. High thinking. Society is high thinking, high living and no thinking. That's basically what they do. No time to think because they're too busy living. Contemplation of philosophy or contemplation on, what is it? Contemplation on the Lord is actually a feature of devotional service, to take time to think about philosophical teachings that are being given to us. Use your mind, not just to hear about it, but to think about it. We can think about things, but nobody has time to think, because the mind's so busy doing things. And that's the society we live in. And therefore, nobody's really in touch with themselves, even on an aesthetic level, where our minds are halfway somewhere else, thinking about what we're going to do today, and we're not even here. We're always thinking, what's next, what's next, what's next? And if I get everything done, that's considered to be success. That's not success, getting things done. Actually, success means to come in contact with Krishna through doing things. But if we're missing Krishna by the way we're doing things, because we have no time to think and perform our duties in a very, what's the word, concentrated way, then we just go from one thing to another, and then after a while we think, am I making any advancement? Well, you're doing a lot of things, but the heart is not really changing so much, and the mind is not really finding satisfaction in what we're doing. It's just more like an obligation. We have to move into that every activity we do is a feature of happiness, because it allows us to offer the results of the activity in devotion to Krishna. Whether it's chanting our rounds, associating with devotees, taking prasadam. Of course, we live in a very passionate, ignorant society, and everything pushes that way. But that's why Prabhupada said we need these farm communities, simple living, so we can focus more on the essence. And it's happening slowly, not fast enough. It's happening very slowly. And therefore, devotees are trying to move in that direction. But what is the feature that makes us move in that direction is that we have to be convinced that this society really can provide what we need in terms of the basic necessities. And look at the food you get. It's so polluted, too. It's full of chemicals, pesticides, and so many other things. Or it's not, they have this GMO food, right? People are eating that and getting drastically sick. I saw a film. Whew, it was horrible. People who engulfed GMO food came down with these horrible diseases. They keep it quiet. There's a news blackout about the results of these things, because they're afraid if it gets out, and then there'll be a big scandal, and there'll be court cases and so many other things. So, you know, the society that we live in, as Prabhupada said, is a soul-killing civilization, meant to kill the soul. So part of practicing Krishna's consciousness is the material foundation that we function within. So therefore, living simply is actually... And he wanted temples in the city to preach. But he said, for our livelihood, we should live on farms. And we should make the food from our temples and restaurants, from the milk and from the vegetables we grow on our farm. We can grow our own food and then give it to the different temples. And they can also have restaurants. Prabhupada wanted a restaurant everywhere in every temple, so people can come, taste nice food, get accustomed to Krishna consciousness through prasadam, and actually begin chanting the holy names. These are all Prabhupada's instructions and recommendations that we follow for the future of our society. And so, there are devotees who are working in this, but I think the most important thing is we have to see, as a society, that this is where we need to go. We can't continue to live like this. Even if this society goes on for another 50 years, look how much time, energy, and efforts the devotees have to do simply to maintain their body. As grihasthas, you know. That's not... You know, it just takes away so much time for the essence. So one should live simply and take care of one's responsibilities. It's not about changing ashrams. This is not the program, nor is it emphasis spoken about here. It's simply about living in a such a way that you can have time for the real goal of life and not simply wasting time for this secondary goal of life to maintain your body. That's a goal. But that's secondary. The real goal of life is Atato Brahma Jigyasa, to understand my relationship with Krishna in devotional service and to experience that relationship in the day-to-day execution of my service. So, in performing our duties, Prabhupada said, one should be very diligent in doing your material duties, but at the same time, not be, what we say, attached to the result. This is the art of bhakti. This is the art of detachment. How to do things on the material level and at the same time not be attached to the results. This is the art. Prabhupada says you learn that art from the spiritual master. Somebody used a little sutra. You have to act like it depends on you and you have to know it doesn't. It's like you have to be a good actor. You have to put your time, effort, energy, attention, concentration in what you're doing to the best of your capacity, but at the same time, you're not attached to the results. How do you do that? When you know that your time, energy, effort, attention, whatever else you put into it is not the cause of their activity. Krishna says, you know, Prakriti kriyamana ni guni karmani sarvasyaha. Ahankara vimudatma. Ahankara. False ego thinks I'm doing it. But still, we have to make the effort. The Bhagavad Gita is interesting because it says you're not the doer. And then it says Krishna's not the doer. And then in another place it says you are the doer. In the 18th chapter, Krishna says karta, that you also are the doer. So are we the doer, or are we not the doer? Small doer. That's pretty good. An activity comprises five features, and we're one of the five. That's how the understanding is. The individual, the endeavor, was it the time, the circumstances, and then ultimately super soul. So five things make up on the process of activity, and we're a small part of that five. And so therefore, being one-fifth means it's not all dependent on you. But still, you have to act. And Prabhupada says you have to act in an attached way, but at the same time be unattached. So that's the art of devotional service. We give it all you got, and no, giving it all you got is not the cause of what you get. It's really difficult, right? It's because, you know, it's like you're looking at the results according to how much you give. If I don't give much, the results are not much, and if I give more, the results are more. So obviously it's me. But not all the time. Because you'll see, Krishna will sometimes, even if you put everything into it, you get a different result. Because if Krishna wants the results to come in a different way, he'll do that. Sometimes just to teach us a lesson or purify us from some attachment or whatever. It doesn't really matter what he's doing. What it means is that we just simply do our best to know it's just other than. And that way we can live happily. We can live peacefully, knowing whatever happens is up to Krishna. Still we try. So, this verse is very instructive. As Prabhupada said, it's the ideal picture of family life. To live simply, but to work in such a way that you're attached and at the same time being detached. And the necessities of life will come automatically. Now, Prabhupada's talking about an ideal situation. Well, he's not so much talking about this Western material civilization. If we have to somehow or other put our time, energy working under those people who are non-devotees, they are going to push you for results. You got to get results, or we're going to get another person to do it. Right? They push you in that direction. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted us to extricate ourselves from that. I think after 40 years of Krishna consciousness in the world, and maybe it's more than that, it's 45 years, I think we should start seriously looking to build in these farm communities. It's happening here, but we need to engage more and more devotees in this type of activity. When you're in touch with nature, you're more in touch with yourself because you're actually a part of nature. Your spiritual nature may be different than your material nature, but if you're out of sync with your material nature, it's very hard to connect with your spiritual nature. You know, if you have to undergo so much difficulty just to live from day to day, how can you really focus on your spiritual life? So Prabhupada wanted us to have these farm communities. Simple living, high thinking. And these four things, he said, grow your own food, that's the first. Make your own cloth. He had actually devotees using spinning wheels to make cloth, and then you can make your own, Of course, might not be so fancy, but still we'll have something to wear. Maybe silk saris will be out of a little bit less, but silk dhotis. But still, we'll have cloth. And then he said, grow your own, grow herbs, learn herbs in medicine. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the healing herb. All the medicines that people manufacture are coming really from nature, and then they synthesize it and add chemicals and create their own things. But actually, all you need is the environment provides all the medicine you need. Everything is there. Just like in New Vrindavan, we took the little survey, and we found that 89% of all the herbs that exist, that are known to exist, were in the New Vrindavan area. Such a rich place for growing herbs. It's like a treasure house of herbs. And so, and to have devotees who learn the herbs, just like there's one devotee in New Talavan, he's called Dwi Buja. I don't know if you know him. He's Prabhupada's disciple. He's created an herbal business called, what is it called? Herbal Blue Boy? Something Blue Boy. Yeah. And he's manufactured, and he's become really popular with the local people. The people come to our farm and buy herbs from him directly, even the local people. And then he gives it to the devotees, and devotees have whatever they need for medicines. He's really an expert at it. You can actually go online. What is he called? Something Blue Boy. Something. But he's, you can look it up. Look, just go for Blue Boy and see how many Blue Boys you get. And his name is Dwi Buja. And you could also order herbs from him, and he has herbs for everything you need. Whatever disease or pain you might have, he has something for it. So there are devotees who are doing that. And then we don't have to spend time buying so many medicines and supplements and so many other different things. And then the last thing Prabhupada said, we don't really cut trees down, but we can cut trees down and use that wood. We can take the wood and build houses. The Amish, I don't know if there's a semi-religious sect in America called the Amish. They can build a house in 3 days. The whole community comes together and they all work together for 3 solid days and they can build a house or a barn. Because they're expert at it, they develop the technique. But they work together as a community and they're very united in whatever they do. So building houses is not really that hard. You can build a house in probably a week if you're organized and have the materials. So we don't have to worry about houses, and then paying rent, and then the pipes break. I went to a program the other night, and there was one devotee who didn't come. He's a regular. And I said, why didn't he come? Oh, the pipes broke in his house. Couldn't come. So, you know, we have to so much depend on the secular society for whatever we need. And then we just have to work so hard to make the money to pay the people to get what we need, when if we can provide it for ourselves, we don't have to work. Right? You work hard to buy food, so you work hard to get money to buy food. Well, just grow your own food, and that eliminates the work. And you get better food, too. Healthier food, much healthier. What we buy in the stores is, you know, the milk, if you take milk that the karmis provide in the store, you put it in the refrigerator for 2 weeks, it'll still be fresh. You still can drink it after 2 weeks. Why? Because it's so full of chemicals. So it doesn't rot, because all the chemicals and preservatives and additives keep the milk somewhat fresh. You take regular milk, put it in a refrigerator, even for 3 days, it goes bad. So you see, you're just eating chemicals, you know. You're chewing on this kind of chemical or that kind of gas. And then the system absorbs all that stuff. That's why we get sick. Well, that's why our bodies become weak and broken down, because of all these unnatural chemicals. And Prabhupada wanted us to live healthy so we could execute devotional service nicely. Okay, this is a very, for me, it's a very interesting topic, because I lived in New Vrindavan for so many years on the farm. And then one day the leader of the farm told me, Brahmachari, he said, you're a city slicker. You don't belong on the farm. After 10 years living on the farm. I like living on the farm, but I guess I was meant to be in the cities for some reason. Anyway, this is the future of our movement, to go back to the farm communities like that. And I remember living in New Vrindavan, we had the nicest milk. Oh, the milk was so rich. Sometimes it was half cream and half milk. Our cows, when the cows are happy and nicely, you get such beautiful milk. It's actually fragrant. You smell it and it actually attracts your mind just by the smell. It's so sweet. And this is natural. When you actually taste naturally grown devotee food and you compare it to what you buy, it's like two different things. It's completely different. So, and if we get sick, how much money we have to spend and time and energy to get healthy again? So why get sick? Because we don't eat right, or because we're eating the wrong foods like that. So it's economically, spiritually, aesthetically, morally, and practically better to live in a very simple environment. Although it may be difficult to transit from this to that, to get from one place to go into another. It takes a while because of our attachment to electricity. I saw a cartoon. There was a war. The whole world ended. And one guy was left and he had a television. He was looking for a place to plug it in. He's walking around and he's thinking, where's the plug? You know, the whole world is devastated. He's trying to find a plug to plug in this television. So that's the mindset of people in general. They can't live without their, you know, electronic media. We're not like that. We can live simply by chanting Hare Krishna, taking nice Krishna prasadam, and developing nice devotee relationships. That's all we need. And even in family life. And our kids, they'll grow up nice and happy and healthy, because they're natural from the start. And then they grow up in this environment and they become, you know, they also become different because of wrong association. Okay, any questions or comments? Simple living, high thinking.